Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of News Bites. I'm news anchor David James, and this is a special live report. Yes, it's the War on Whites report. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have received an email from a friend in Australia who said that he picked up this article and said it was right up my alley, so to speak. And of course it is. And so therefore, I was, of course, interested in it and wanted to bring it to you. And it's not surprising. It's something that goes right along with everything I've been talking about in the news and on my black-on-white crime reports, etc., etc. It's called The War Against Whites in Advertising. And before I go into this, I want to mention something that I find very interesting. I live in a place where it's generally almost 98% white or something like that, right? Yet, every business, like Home Depot and all these different businesses, on the door they'll have the English and they'll have the Spanish. Now, what's the Spanish there for? Yeah. In other words, they plan on bringing them all in here. You understand? They're trying to destroy every safe place that whites have. And it's a systematic thing. And I wonder, you know, you see that Donald Trump's in there and all that stuff. Is anything really changing? I mean, I guess the economy is a little bit better or something. And at least people realize that the news is fake, a lot of people now. But I don't know. Why, you know, when you go into Walmart, which I hate to even go in the first place, but all the advertisements that are in Walmart, in a 98% white place where you virtually never see these other people, they don't have white people in almost any of the ads. It's all colored people. What is that telling you? So the report starts out, it starts out here. A 2015 study examined the outcomes of women that have had children with black men, and the results were staggering. Currently, listen to this, 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. However, when the mother is white and the father is black, the rate jumps to 97 to 98% of white mothers. Studied reported the father does not support their children financially. Did you hear that, white women? Let me just say that again. However, when the mother is white and the father is black, the rate jumps to 97 or 98% of white mothers studied. It jumps to 97% then, okay. 98% of white mothers studied reported the father does not support their children financially. 97 report that the father is not in the child's life. And 97% of the women have used welfare to help support themselves and their children. Now listen to this. Only 10% of women that have children with black men out of wedlock end up marrying. The vast majority of white women that have children with black men live far below the poverty line. See, what you're doing to yourself is you're bringing judgment upon yourself. I've been trying to hammer this home to the white women that if you become a coal burner, what happens is these blacks, I mean, I've done report after report after report after report, that these blacks are killing their white girlfriends or white wives, or and usually the offspring as well, the hybrid offspring that is an abomination to the Father in heaven. And so here you see what I just said to you. You can ponder it yourself, go back and listen. And so what happens to you if you mix with these blacks? You end up a welfare mother and you live far below the poverty line. Is that what you want for you and your children? Now, I know how selfish some women can be, and men too, of course. So is that, I know women don't want to live even near the poverty line, never mind under it. Are you willing to take a chance like that and that you will, that they will kill you, beat you, whore you out, whatever it might be? And that you want to live, is this, you know, just so you can sleep with this black man, you're going to risk all that, number one. Or number two, that 98, the vast majority of white women that have children with black men live far below the poverty line. You want to live far below the poverty line? And you want your children to live that way too? Something's wrong somewhere. Somebody's not using their thinking caps. The war against whites in advertising. I've already talked about this. And, of course, you know, I haven't even got to the article yet, and I have a lot to say about it all. I want to just tell you outright, so you'll know, that the corporations are your enemy. Yes, the corporations that you've supported, that you've liked, that you've told others about their products, what they've done is used you. Often they, mostly they're owned by Jews who hate white people and want to wipe us off the planet in the first place. They're the ones that are encouraging these women to do these things, knowing that these women will be killed. And they'd rather have them mix with a black than have a nice, healthy white baby with a white man. You understand? And also, what happens is, we've seen this over and over. Look at recently Nike. They just went against whites. We saw that with Pepsi. We've seen that with a lot of different companies, if you think about it. McDonald's. They've gone against Christianity, against white people, against everything white. Because they see the oncoming hordes, you see, and that the hordes are not white. And all they think about is money, because that's their god. The Jews' god is Lucifer, yes. That's their father, really. But gold is the god of the Jews. And they'll do anything, including, I would even believe that they'd do treachery against their own devil father. I really do. I think that they would do anything for gold, these filthy, dirty Jews. So what I'm trying to say to you is the companies have all made it very clear that they're against us, that they are joining the left. Company after company, just think about it. I don't know what you see in your life. If you're watching the mainstream media, you're not going to understand what I'm telling you. But when you look at things like Starbucks with the hybrid fish woman on there, goddess, right? With the Edomite star, the Jew star, not the Jew one that they're using on the flag, the five-pointed star that you see on the tanks and on the airplanes, that's the Edomite star. That's the children of the devil. Now, that's, the star is a star anyway, but that's the, they've taken that and used that for their mark. Their father's mark is the upside down star. So, you see that with this fish goddess company here, this coffee company, that they said that they would hire all these illegal immigrants to defy the white people. They'll say it's Donald Trump, but Donald Trump, in their mind, is representing white America. Right? They also hire all kinds of freak white people. to serve the coffee. Freaky looking purple green haired people that are so starving for attention that they'll do anything to get your attention, including coloring their hair purple, green, orange, blue, anything you can think about. So these companies have all turned against us. We brought these companies, we supported them by buying their products, and when they became big enough and didn't need us anymore, they ate us for lunch. And that's exactly what has happened. Now, this goes for, I'd say, at least 90% of the companies in America. They've even been so traitorous that they've gone out of America and took all those jobs that were supposed to be you supporters of those companies. And just because they wanted to give jobs to anybody non-white, they went out of America. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You may not believe this, but us Americans, us white Americans, we want to buy American-made products. We don't want to buy Chinese products. Chinese products are inferior. We want to buy American-made products by Americans, by white Americans. We want to buy German-made products by white Germans, etc., etc. We know who makes the best products. Now, Japan, I don't mind buying Japan's products. They do a fine job. So I would like to buy products from Japan as well. But as far as China goes, forget it. Now, I know you agree with me that you want to buy American-made products. And we want those jobs here in America. Really, we want our share in the gross domestic product. We don't really want jobs. We want the ability to be able to create things and have enough money so that we don't have to work those jobs for Jewish companies, see? Because the whole structure of your life in America through democracy is made this way. I'll explain it to you, as I have before. You go to work, you go to school, and you're indoctrinated into the Marxist theologies. You're supposed to love everybody except your own color. You're supposed to hate Christianity. You're supposed to love the Jews, and you're supposed to toe the line when it comes to political correctness. And if you don't, you'll be severely punished for it. So you're supposed to love homosexuals. Anything that the Father in heaven abhors, you should love. In our democracy, our beloved, quote unquote, not my beloved, your beloved democracy. And really, in truth, it's the Jews' beloved democracy, because this is how they've enslaved the world. That's why they're spreading democracy throughout the rest of the world, to enslave the rest of the world. Then, when you get to high school, they're pounding you with books. They've got teachers teaching you things that are absolutely anti-Christ. They're pounding you with the mainstream media, with rap music, if you call that music. It's not music. See, they forgot the first letter in rap, which was C. They dropped it out, see? I see, do you see? Well, let's see. So, the next thing that happens is you're being prepared to do some of your final schooling at the Marxist colleges, Marxist-run colleges. They've taken over all the colleges. And one of the worst things in the whole world is the funding for college. They have raised the price for college so heavy against the whites so that they could send the non-colored free. And when your son and your daughter goes to college, dear white people, they're taught how to toe the line. And they're taught to toe the line. And, you know, why? Because if you're going to be working for a Jewish company, right? If you're going to be working for a Jewish company, you're going to have a college education, so to speak, unless you're working for McDonald's Jewish company or something like that, right? But the reason for this college is, for white people, is to impoverish them, to give them a start way behind all the other people. That you'll be so far in debt, and your parents will be in debt, that they will... I don't know what the problem with the microphone is, but I keep on trying to make it so that it doesn't pop. It's just the way I'm doing my show at this point. This will be changing soon. What's happening is you start out life in heavy-duty debt from going to college to be indoctrinated into Marxist ideologies so that you will be prepared to work for the Jewish company, to believe the way they believe, and to toe the line. And if you do all that, you'll be fine. It's like I said before, with history, like if you're teaching history in high school and colleges, you're teaching falsehoods knowingly. Most of those people are teaching these falsehoods. False history that has been changed by the Jews. Teaching people that America was discovered in 1492 by Columbus, and falsehoods like that. But as long as you are willing to teach these falsehoods, you'll make a great living. And you will have very little resistance. However, on the other hand, if you decided you had found out a lot more about the history you were teaching and you had a conscience and you said to yourself, I can't really teach this. I have to teach the children the truth. Well, you wouldn't be in your job and you'd feel the resistance immediately. The only reason they require college educations in big Jewish companies is so that they can indoctrinate you in college and impoverish you and give you a start in life that is behind the eight ball. See, many people will never even come back from paying that college tuition. It'll take, by the time you're 40 years old or something, you might have paid it off. What about a house? Then you're impoverished that way too, and on it goes, right? Some of them will pay it off, but anyway, you get the idea. So these companies are against you, period. I don't know what we can do about it because there's only so many companies you can buy from, right? But we need to start boycotting some of them, and I already have been for years. And that's where the power is, boycotting. Know how I know that? Because the Jews use that against people. They won't call it boycotting sometimes. They'll call it sanctions. And you know how I know why? Because when the Jews get boycotted, they go out of their minds. So I know the power is in the boycott. Okay, let's start the article, folks. The mass marketing of interracial relationships, particularly white women with black men, has become so ubiquitous and so militant, even the least observant members of our culture have begun to notice. Walking through a mall recently, I noticed three large marketing images of couples in three different stores. Two of the three were interracial couples, depicting a white woman and a black man. The third couple was white. Perhaps what struck me as most peculiar was the fact that the city where I was shopping, whites make up about 97%. Hey, what did I just tell you? Of the population in blacks are less than 2%. What did I just tell you? I didn't read this before. I wondered if the purpose of diverse advertising was to sell more products or really to indoctrinate, to condition, to signal how progressive they are. Well, let me explain that to you. Oh, Dave, you're going to interrupt again the article? We want to hear this article. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's called contrived reality. See, by showing you these black and white couples, it is a conditioning. It is an indoctrination. And it is something that it's like a meme. It's like you see it and then people become it. It contrives a reality out of a non-reality. Okay, let's move on. Based on small glimpses of culture, one might assume half or more of all the relationships involve some sort of race mixing. If a person who had no information about the U.S. or Europe were to see our television, magazine, billboard, and storefront advertisements, he might assume there were virtually zero normal white men anywhere to be found. The combination of white women and black men is hands down the most common race mixed couple depicting in advertising. Depicted in advertising, that combination will be the focus of this essay. I thought about the probability that two of the three advertisement couples I saw in the mall that afternoon were there by mere coincidence. Between men and women, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and other, quote unquote, there are 25 possible combinations of couples, 20 of which are interracial. Here are the possible interracial combinations. Now, listen. If they want the white women to mix with the black men, what they want to do is impoverish the white race. What they want to do is mix the white race out of existence. What they want to do is have the white man disappear from the scene. What they want to do is make sure that Whitey gets written out of the picture. White woman, black man, Asian man, Hispanic man, or other man. White men, black women, Asian woman, Hispanic woman, other woman. Black man, Asian woman, Hispanic woman, other woman. Black woman, do we really want to read all these? Yeah, I suppose. Black woman, Asian man, Hispanic man, other man. Asian man, Hispanic woman, other woman. Asian woman, Hispanic man, other man. Hispanic man, other woman. Hispanic woman, other man. If the diversity, quote unquote, in advertising was truly about appealing to the greatest number of customers or potential customers, showing white women with black men at such a high level seems to be a very odd strategy, right? To focus so much on the one combination while ignoring so many others, there's simply must be some other goal beyond selling merchandise. Oh, there certainly is. Contrived reality, as I said. Outcomes. There is a noticeable and interesting body of research on interracial relationships and marriages. It is not exhaustive by any means, but we can synthesize the available data to form an accurate view of such relationships. Pew Research 2012 conducted a large study of interracial marriage that provides a considerable amount of data. Since 1980, the total percent of interracial marriages has risen from 3.2% to 8.4%. Of new marriages, the rate rose from 6.7% to 15.1%. In 2010, the most common intermarriage was white-Hispanic at 43.3%. Other mixed at 30.4, white Asian at 14.4, and white black, the least common, 11.9%. Not all interracial relationships, of course, are marriages, but we can use the marriage data to reasonably extrapolate the information to the wider society and relationships. As of 2010, whites on average were least likely to marry outside their race. Praise Yahweh. Less than 10% of whites intermarry, while Hispanics, blacks, and Asians are all two or three times more likely to intermarry. In terms of combined median incomes and interracial marriages, black husbands with white wives earn the lowest amount of any other combination. The black husband and white wife combination were also the least educated. Of the interracial combinations, marriages between whites and blacks were found to be the least stable and the most likely to result in divorce. The divorce rate is higher in all interracial marriages for white women relative to a white marriage. A study of over 2 million online dating interactions revealed distinct racial preferences between groups. White women responded most frequently to white men and least frequently to black men. In light of this data, it is all the more bizarre that the combination of a white woman with a black man is seen so frequently in advertising. Sexually transmitted disease rates per the 2016 Center for Disease Control speak for themselves. A 2015 study examined the outcomes of women that have had had children with black men. Okay, I believe this is the quote that I had read at the beginning. So let's move to the next quote. A 2013 study of intimate partner violence in relationships surveyed nearly 10,000 people. The authors hypothesized that interracial couples would experience higher levels of violence compared to intra-racial relationships. They found that compared to white relationships, both black couples and interracial couples experienced statistically significant higher levels of relationship violence. Like I told you. Intimate partner violence is classified as threats, physical or emotional violence between two people in a committed relationship. The National Center for Injury Prevention and Control... estimates that relationship violence costs around $4.1 billion a year in medical and mental health care costs. Attitudes. Among whites in 1958, only 4% approved interracial marriages between whites and blacks. In 2007, 75% of whites reported they approve of such unions. Historically and contemporarily, blacks and Hispanics have always held a higher approval rating of interracial marriages. From 2011 Pew Research study, 40% of whites, 51% of blacks, and 48% of Hispanics report that more people of different races marrying is a change for the better in society. 12% of whites, 8% of blacks, and 9% of Hispanics say it's for the worse. And the remaining of those surveyed said there is no difference. Ah, yeah, those are the naysayers. There is no race. There's no difference between the blood of the white man and the black man and every other, and the Jew and everybody else. It's all the same blood. But that's a lie. The younger the cohort, the more likely they were to say the increase of interracial marriages for the better. See what I mean about indoctrination? Liberals were more likely than conservatives to say interracial marriages is for the better. And college graduates were also more likely to support the notion. You see, as time goes by, the indoctrination is sitting in. And the just by showing that over and over to people, it makes it... It's like when I explained to you that if you saw blacks for the first time of your life, you'd be scared. They called them spooks. Why did they call them spooks? Because they're scary. But you've been conditioned to seeing them all the time now, right? So they're not so scary anymore because you've been desensitized to it. You understand? It's the same thing as Jews. If you saw Jews for the first time and you had never seen them before, they would be spooky to you too. But you've been conditioned through the media over and over to see Jews. And now it's just, desensitized. So now, at first, when you saw black and white couples, you might have been enraged. But after a while, you say, oh, well, that's a good idea. You know what I mean? I'm used to it now. See? As a side note, my personal opinion from a considerable amount of spent time in academia is that more educated, quote-unquote, members of our society are not more open-minded, quote-unquote, than less educated, quote-unquote, members. It is my contention that, on average, the longer one spends in academia, the more apt one is to be indoctrinated by critical theory. There is likely also a self-selection bias at work as well. Those who are more likely to buy into the narrative of critical theory are more likely to thrive in an environment that echoes their sentiments. Pew Research 2010 found that 69% of people surveyed said that single women having children is a bad thing. 43% say unmarried couples raising children is a bad thing, yet only 14% say interracial marriage is a bad thing. There is something oddly ironic about being in favor of interracial relationships, while at the same time abhorring the logical outcomes of those relationships. Well, you know, it's doublethink. You see what I mean? That's doublethink, right? There is something oddly ironic about being in favor. Bill Clinton says, I'm in favor of interracial relationships, but I abhor the logical outcomes of those relationships. I never had sex with that woman. No, I never did. Yes, she gave me fellatio, but as I taught the children of America, fellatio is not having sex. That filthy, dirty Jew. Both Pew Research and Gallup's latest findings report the majority of U.S. citizens approve interracial marriage and relationships. Although these are generally self-reporting surveys, yeah, and anonymous. A study of brain scans suggests that there's a social desirability bias coming into play. Social desirability bias is the tendency of survey and study participants to reply to socially contentious questions in a way that is socially and publicly acceptable, even when the surveys are anonymous. Yes, they're afraid to speak their minds. A 2017 study in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology looked at insular activity in the brain when participants viewed images of interracial couples compared to same race couples. Insular activation is responsible for a variety of motions. Evidence shows that insular activity is present when a person experiences disgust and is thought to be a reliable marker of both disgust and aversion. The study found statistical significance between insular activation of participants looking at the same race couples compared to interracial couples. Despite a minority of participants explicitly stating that they disagree with interracial dating and marriage, the encephalogram. Wow, that was a big one, boy. First time I ever read that word. EEG told a different story. This study also used an implicit association to task to measure response times of participants in categorizing interracial couples and same-race couples with either a silhouette of a human or a silhouette of an animal. Participants were placed in two conditions, one primed with disgusting images and other primed with positive images. Researchers found that all the participants showed an implicit bias towards matching interracial couples with animals. And the condition primed to be disgusted was even faster, showing a greater implicit bias against interracial couples. There was both a neural reaction of that's neural, N-E-U-R-A-L, neural reaction of disgust and implicit reaction of disgust to interracial couples. And of course there would be. It doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. There's nothing right about it. It's against the laws of nature. It's against the ever-living God. It's against Yahweh himself, the ever-living God. Do you understand that? The authors write in the abstract of this paper that these findings are particularly concerning given evidence of antisocial reactions, aggression, you know, examples are aggression, perpetration of violence, to dehumanize targets. The psychology, okay, we now know, psychology, yeah, another fake pseudoscience. We now know that whites are the least likely to marry outside their race. We know that when white women marry outside of their race, they are more likely to be abused, to become single mothers, live in poverty, and I would add to this, and to be killed. And that whites dating outside their race exposes us to a higher chance of contracting a sexually transmitted disease. We also know that despite the feigned acceptance, white people show a legitimate disgust response to interracial relationships. That's the compass inside of them, dear writer. We all know that despite the barrage of diversity in films, television, and advertisements, same-race couples are still the most common by far. So what's the purpose of the blatant propaganda? David Vingemurray for Forbes writes, "What's the advantage of a wider variety of gender, ethnicity, and sexual presence represented in media and advertising? Simply put, we are more likely to identify with someone that looks like us." Michelle Castillo, I wonder if she's got the Sicilian connection there, for CNBC, suggests that Americans want even more diversity, quote-unquote, in ads. Oh, sure we do. Where she cites a survey of 2,000 people where 66 reported diversity in advertising is a factor to consider when purchasing a product. These are excuses at best. We still have not answered why we see the very particular arrangement of white women and black men time and time again. I do not believe for a second that interracial advertising under the guise of diversity, quote-unquote, is about selling clothes or laundry detergent or cereal. It is propaganda through and through, the purpose of which is to present a distorted worldview, to humiliate, that's another factor, right, to mock and to make complacent. White men are the last vanguard against this occupation of a hostile elite. Women, white women are displayed with non-white men, not to sell items, but as a tactic of psychological warfare against our civilization. Very rarely anymore are white men portrayed in a favorable light. They are often overweight, goofy, clumsy, half-witted, and they always rely on women and non-whites to save the day. From films to television to advertisements, this is an increasingly common anti-white canard. The increasing acceptance of interracial relationships over the last 70 years has not been a function of anything other than increased propaganda efforts. The outcomes are socially and individually undesirable. Little, if any, good comes from promoting white women to date or marry outside their race. What we are seeing is a systematic attack on white identity. We are seeing but one of the many aspects of the war on whites becoming a creeping normality in the West. The psychological effects of advertising have been well documented. Advertising has the ability to make people choose an inferior product simply by manipulating the affective conditioning. Studies suggest that average Americans are exposed to as many as 5,000 advertisements in a day. Not me. You got to get rid of the glass toilet, as that fella calls it. The American Psychological Association has concluded there is a link between unhealthy food advertisements to childhood obesity. Oh, sure, of course there is. It all comes through the glass toilet, Talmud vision, it's called. and a link between tobacco and alcohol advertisements to underage smoking and drinking. The APA found these effects to be so strong they have called for strict regulations on advertisements that are marketed to children. The power of advertising is so strong it has the ability to override central root processing and rationality, to sow subconscious discord, persuade us to make irresponsible decisions. Further, advertising has the power to condition us to be more accepting to the and to usher in social change. The prevalence of mixed-race couples and the increase of LGBT representation in advertisements has in no small way changed social perception. Although visceral reactions of disgust remain, outward social attitudes have become accepting of all forms of degeneracy and social decay. I would call that, ladies and gentlemen, peer pressure. The danger. White people are not the only ones seeing constant images of white women with black men plastered across the Occident. These images have an effect on black men as well. They are being told by the film industry, TV, and advertising. By the way, this is the racial program for the 20th century, right? You know, our party's most success, right? How they would promote Negroes. They say this was a hoax too, right? How they would promote Negroes in advertisement, in sports and entertainment in those fields until they could marry with white women and then would give America over to their cause, the Jews. Right? You know the one. So, these images have an effect on black men as well. They are being told by the film industry, TV, and advertising that it's not only natural, but also common that white women are choosing black men. I have no doubt that this imagery plays no small part in the increased rate of victimization white women face in the hands of non-white men. These advertisements send a clear message to black men. White women desire you. This plays out in reality when black men, despite being conditioned by advertising to believe white women desire them, are rejected by white women in reality. They often become angry and lash out at the woman, as seen in this video, believing they are taking what is theirs. Nearly 100% of interracial rapes are white women being raped by non-white men. Did you hear that? Nearly 100%. That was a National Crime Victimization Survey in 2008. These advertising images, which have no small part in warping mentality, not only promote a dysgenic society, they place our people in grave danger. Now, let me ask you a question that I've heard before, but I would put it to you this way. I know all you white people are the biggest defenders of the black race. Is it worth trying to make these Negroes equal with you and to try to do something wonderful for these Negroes, like give them your religion, which doesn't work, or like, you know, just giving them your women, which doesn't work? Is it worth all this that we put up with from blacks to try to make them equal with us? See, I know they're not equal with us, and they know they're not equal with us. It's just you who doesn't know that. And is it worth all of our women being raped? Is it worth our children being victimized? Is it worth the elderly who are getting raped by these Negroes and set on fire and all kinds of stuff that goes on? All the crime across the nation, blacks shooting blacks, blacks shooting whites, all the crimes in the city. Think of all the things. Is this worth it? Because number one, it's never going to become a reality. The Negro will never be equal with the white. Oh, it might be able to beat you into the ground with a club or shoot you to death, but that doesn't make it equal with you. A baboon could do that to you too. And many animals could crush you to death. But that does not make those animals equal with you. I don't think you understand, you know, exactly what you're asking for. No, the answer is no, it's not worth it. What have Negroes done for America? I laughed my head off when some woman said, "We built this nation." The Negroes built this nation? How'd they do it? With cotton? You know, if it was a nation built of cotton, I might have said, "Well, yeah, maybe there is something to that. You know, they pick cotton 2 months a year, and that's some severe slavery, boy." But that's not the reality of anything. They didn't make anything. The Negroes have done nothing for America. Nothing but denigrate it. Nothing but help uneducate it. Help rape it. They have brought our nation down and continue to bring it down. Any nation that the Jew or the Negro is in will head south, downward. Blacks just aren't meant to be in our nations. They should be by themselves where they belong. You don't see me hanging around with lions, do you? They'd kill me in a very short period of time. Lions belong with lions, and I belong with my people. And if you're a Negro, you belong with your people. Nothing good has come of this multi-culti nonsense. This is all the Jews, you know, false stories, these fables of the Jews, fables of equality, fables of the multicultural peace, favors of no more wars, favors if we all became the brown man, there'd be no more arguments. Well, let me ask you a question. If we all intermarried and the whole world was brown, except for the Jews, because, of course, they want to remain on the top, you see. And they're not white. They mix with every race. But let's just say the rest of the world was all brown. Do you think there'd be peace in the world? I'm asking you that question. Do you think there would be peace in the world if it was all brown? Well, let me give you an example. Chicago, there's all black areas over there. Or Detroit, are those peaceful places? They were all black. Huh? How about South America? They're all brown down there. Is that an area of peace? Do you know that some of the most violent, the most violent cities in the world are in South America, many of them. Is there peace with all brown people? See, it's the fable of the Jews. They're lying to you. They're telling you that white women want you. They're telling you that you can be equal with white men. But you get angry because you know you can't. And you're being forced to be. And you don't want to be. You don't want to work. You don't have work ethic like Whitey does. You never did, you never will. The Jew doesn't have work ethic like Whitey does. Races are very different. I'm not talking about anything about white supremacism or whatever. I'm telling you that the races are different for a very good reason. Everybody would play their part. If everybody played their part correctly, including the woman-man relationship, the world would be a much more peaceful and better place. If women would just take their part and shut their mouths and have nothing to do with governments and all that stuff and take care of their children and so on and so forth, there'd be less voices in the world to cause problems. And if there were no Jews in our country, there'd be almost no problems because we would definitely take care of business if we got them out of our countries. We know who the cause is. We know who's promoting all this stuff. And blacks, don't be mad at white people. Jews aren't white people. White people are your biggest defenders. What are you mad about them for? They're the ones that are trying to make you equal with them. and want to believe it implicitly. I don't. And you don't. Purveyors. The most recent and perhaps belligerent example of anti-white propaganda came from Netflix via a set of three commercials for the company. The series of the three commercials is titled The Couple, which features white women, a white woman and a black man. The commercial, Open Relationship, quote-unquote, from the series depicts two couples, an interracial couple and a white couple, where the white man is depicted as small, weak, insecure, unprogressive, and close-minded. His white girlfriend quickly decides to cast him aside and spend an evening with the interracial couple, as the black man quite literally steals the man's girlfriend in front of him, humiliating him. This is a commercial with the alleged intent to encourage more people to subscribe to Netflix. It came to my attention that this commercial was not a result of white ethnomasochism, but perhaps something far more disquieting. HLG Studios out of Los Angeles was behind the production of the three commercials. HLG has worked on advertising campaigns for a myriad of national brands, from fast food chains to banks, technology companies, and clothing retailers. HLG Studios was founded by Yuri Baranovsky. Hello, can you say Jew? The same man who directed Netflix race-mixing anti-white propaganda pieces. Baranovsky is Jewish, and may Yahweh destroy him with a disease that cannot be cured as quickly as possible in the mighty name of Yahweh. May he be destroyed and all those that work with him in the mighty name of Yahweh. This revelation piqued my interest and sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole in the advertising industry. I quickly found that the marketing industry is very much akin to the media industry. Just four mega corporations, hello, control the vast majority of all advertising agencies. The Omnicorp Group of New York, WPP of London, Publicis of Paris, and Interrepublic of New York are the key corporations in the West. Dentsu of Tokyo is the next largest group and fifth globally. The New York Times states that these companies are so powerful they can indirectly set a network television schedule and starve magazines to death to help them to flourish. By deciding how and when to spend advertising dollars. Each company owns dozens, if not hundreds, of smaller agencies. Omnicom has bought over 150 firms alone. CEO John Wren, of Irish descent, currently heads Omnicom Group. Omnicom was founded by Alan Rosenshine, Keith Renard, and John Birnbach, all three Jewish. So they put John Wren, who... there must be something wrong with him, too. He could be an Irish Jew. We don't know. But they put him in as the token white man, so to speak, and head of the company, so you won't blame Jews for it, you see. Long-standing CEO of Publicis, 1987 to 2017, has been Maurice Levy, who said, hello, Jew, who cited his rabbi grandfather as his greatest inspiration. Levy has been honored by the Anti-Defamation League, which I call the Pro-Defecation League, for his work in fighting anti-Jewishism and his relentless promotion of diversity, quote-unquote. WPP of London was founded and is currently run by Martin Sorrell of Jewish descent. Chairman and CEO of the Interpublic Group, IPG, is Michael Izor Roth, which means red, a Jew. I found no mention of his ethnicity. Roth did, however, condemn the white supremacist ideology at Charlottesville and founded the whole event to be deeply disturbing. Roth is a Jew name. As he wrote in an internal memo to 50,000 IPG employees, Roth further wrote that the actions cannot be tolerated and that, of course, diversity, quote-unquote, is an American value. That's a lie. Finally, he suggested that the events at Charlottesville are not political issues, but an issue of basic humanity and standing up for what's right. I agree with the sentiments of Roth. This whole movement really isn't political in many ways. This is about basic humanity fighting for what is right. It just so happens that some of us do not see our cultural genocide and dispossession as an issue beyond basic humanity. We have the right to exist, whether Roth and his ilk like it or not. For a brief moment, I thought I was onto something. There seems to be a disproportionate number of Jews with those and those with Jewish sympathies involved in advertising. Of course! From small startup firms to multi-billion dollar corporations, all of which are promoting hostile anti-white canards while praising diversity, quote-unquote, and inclusion, quote-unquote, I'm sure it's just another coincidence. Yeah, sure. If you wanted to destroy a civilization, how would you go about it? If you wanted to create dysgenic chaos in a society, chaos, there it is, there it is, there's your combination. Corruption leads to chaos, and then chaos leads to judgment. If you wanted to destroy a civilization, how would you go about it? How would you bring judgment down upon it? You'd corrupt it until it went into chaos. So he says, if you wanted to create dysgenic chaos in a society, what would be your weapon? To destroy our civilization, you would want to start by destroying one of the cornerstones of our culture, the nuclear family. And what better way to destroy a white nuclear family than to encourage white people, especially white women, to mate with foreign men that are unlikely to support them and raise their children? If you wanted to create a chaotic society that is easy to lord over, you would put in democracy. I'm going to stop that right there. I said that. You would ensure that the children are raised by the state. The women are dependent. That's communism. The women are dependent on the state. That's communism. And that the men were marginalized and seen as social pariahs by their own people. What a better way to destroy a people than to promote a relationship that can never produce white children and that by its very nature is dysgenic. The media, the press, and advertisers have created a culture of anti-white hatred. These companies are not simply promoting diversity, which is anti-white hatred, and trying to appeal to a wider range of consumers. They are promoting the increased abuse of white women. They are promoting heightened rates of communicable diseases amongst our people. They are promoting a generation of poor, fatherless children where our tax dollars will be funneled. They are not just trying to sell products. They are trying to recreate a nation, our nation, without us. They are saying they do not want white children to be made. They are telling white men that they have no place in society, and that's where we come in. We need to stand guard with unwavering and watchful eyes and shine a light on the constant barrage of attacks. Every single time I come across an advertisement that highlights diversity in an absurd way or promotes miscegenation, I make a point to share it online with my friends and family. I personally take note of companies that insist on promoting miscegenation and do not spend my money with them. I do the same thing. If they want the diverse consumer, they can have them. When the hostile elite sends a message that you have to realize that these corporations, they don't need the money. The Jews are sitting on over half the world's wealth. So they're just playing with stealing the rest of the world's wealth, and it's like a little gambling game. They don't care if they lose it. They lose it, they get it back in another way. Don't worry about it. When the hostile elite sends a message that young white men have no place in society, it's our job to be there for them, to give them a place and, more importantly, a purpose. The future of civilization, the future of our people, is only being offered by one group of people, and that is us. We are in many ways the last vanguard against a system that would greatly prefer our extinction. I told you that when I was doing insurance, I would go into companies and there would always be a dyke running the company. I didn't see very many white men, and certainly not in charge. Every film that has a hostile anti-white message should be reviewed, critiqued, and dissected by those of us writing articles and creating podcasts. We have the intellectual ability to develop our very own critiques, to be the warriors against this cultural insurrection and to let the current occupation know that they can write us, that they can't write us out of their, he says, and to let the current occupation know they can write us out of their silly commercials, awful sitcoms, degenerate films, and miscegenation-promoting magazine ads, but that's all they will be able to accomplish. And one last thing. As for Dentsu, the Japanese advertising giant, their entire history of executives has been Japanese. Every July, new employees and newly promoted executives of the company travel to Mount Fuji to climb the mountain together, a company tradition dating back to the 20s. Somewhere in this story of race-mixing propaganda, amidst the throes of degeneracy, there was a profound lesson to be learned from the Japanese. Although they are not without fault, Dentsu has a reputation of overworking their employees. There is something to be admired about a group of people honoring tradition, country, nature, and everything like that, and each other. As for us, we have our own Mount Fuji ahead of us, rising with the dawn and reaching towards the sky, waiting to be conquered in a hostile environment that would much prefer we lie down and accept this fate. I submit instead we each pull together up on that mountain as we always have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's your report. And I must say that it's something I hate to see. Every time I see it, I don't like it. I like when Pastor Greg would say to Pastor Eli, you know, whenever I see a black man with a white woman, I tell you, I get upset. You know, I don't know how exactly he puts it, but he would say it over and over and over and over again. And it was very amusing. This has been a News Bite special report. And until next time, smarten up and don't look down.